Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. It is Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold Multi-State Text-to-Win Contest. We are in the second-to-last day, rounding out 2 weeks of this fun time for each and every one of you. Each day, we give away one of two daily prizes, $200 in cold hard cash or gold jewelry. And when you text in the word that I'm about to give you right now via the Civic Media app, you'll also be entered to win one of our one grand prize, which is two indoor club-level tickets to watch Green Bay play Minnesota on November 23rd. That's a noon start game, as well as a gas card to get you there and back, a $1,500 plus value. Folks, download that app for free wherever you get your apps from right now. Just look for Civic Media, search for Civic Media, and here is the word to get entered to win right now. You will certainly be cozy, C-O-Z-Y, cozy, when you win those two club-level indoor seats for the Green Bay-Minnesota game in November. Good luck to one and all. Hopefully you can be a winner like Dave in Kenosha, listening on RJN, Angie from Hammond, tuning in on WSCM, or Tom in Spring Green, listen to WRCO. One other bit of programming notes. Yesterday, if you listen to my program, I spent the entire 5 o'clock hour breaking down the rhetorical tricks, the propagandist tricks of Charlie Kirk, but more broadly, the MAGA movement writ large. And I wanted to be sure that I thanked and acknowledged the sources from which I got a lot of that analysis and a lot of the sound. I mentioned Jeremy Andrew Davis. He has studied rhetoric and propaganda throughout modern history. I pulled a lot of the analysis of the Black Pilots discussion from a YouTube post that he made. That link will be available in our show notes. Also, New York Times reporters Ken Bensinger and Charlie Smart, their article of September 27th, The Debate Style That Propelled Charlie Kirk's Movement, as well as Dr. Julius Doyle, who helped with the sound and the analysis of the Dunning-Kruger effect and how it applies to Kirk and basically almost the entirety of the MAGA movement in general. So, with those programming notes completed, and again, good luck to everyone with the Civic Media Multi-State Green and Gold Text to Win contest. I am very privileged to introduce to all of you and to bring onto the show for the first time, Laura Dresser. She is a labor economist and expert on low-wage work and workforce development systems. She's the associate director at High Road Strategy Center. They just published The State of Working Wisconsin. We'll put the link to this incredibly important report in our show notes from today. Let's talk about working folks in Wisconsin. Laura, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me here.
I really appreciate this reporting that you and your organization do. You've put out this annual report since 1996. It was released originally on Labor Day to honor working people in Wisconsin. Give us just the high level. There are some positive indicators and there are some big flashing warning lights here in Wisconsin. Let's start on the upside. There's so much dark news these days, but let's start on the upside. What's looking good in Wisconsin?
Let me give some sunshine. Okay. So, you know, there's data that we look at each year, and there's been a strong economic recovery that was rooted in the pandemic, you know, that bounced back after the pandemic shutdowns. That's been a sustained period of economic growth, low unemployment rates still in the state of Wisconsin, hovering around 3%. That's great news for workers. They can bargain for more. That's like good news for the workers who are looking for work, but it's also good news for workers who hold jobs because they can make more of those jobs. There's evidence that they do that in the wages. Wages have reached a new high, inflation adjusted, of the median wage being $25 an hour in the state. That also is good news, but that's a 2024 piece of data. The wage data always comes with a little bit of a lag. And the third piece of good news is we have as many jobs in the state as we've ever had. You know, each one of these pieces of news even comes with their own downsides, their own internal downsides. But on a top level, from the pandemic shutdowns in 2020 to this current economy. We had sustained extended period of growth, and actually it's the lower wage workers who made more of it, made more gains in wages, and that's something to celebrate.
Yeah, again, good positive indicators, top lines, again, very low unemployment, top level of record numbers of jobs in the state, a record high of an hourly wage of just a smidge, a penny over 25 bucks an hour. That said, Laura, every single person listening knows a ton of people right now that are struggling, that aren't making anywhere near $25 an hour. We know people who may be fully employed who still can't get health care. We know that there have been sustained attacks on unions at both the national and especially here on the state level, courtesy of the MAGAs and Scott Walker here in Wisconsin. Tell us where the troubling economic indicators are here in the state of Wisconsin.
So right now, the biggest, most clear warning signs are at the national level on job growth. And if you want to be convinced that that job news is bad, you just look at Trump's response to it. The July and August jobs reports showed losses in 1 month and rejections down, and the reductions, that kind of changes in estimates, is really common at inflection points when it's hard to guess what's happening with the economy because it's changing. The trajectory is changing.
If I can just emphasize that for a point, folks, when you've got a general trajectory where the direction of the economy is fairly constant and moving in one direction, you may get a rate change, mean the direction stays constant, but how fast it's growing or shrinking may change. What Laura is explaining is that when you're seeing these job numbers revisions that are quite substantial, and I reported on those right at the top of the show today, of course, again, the revision for the August jobs number was plus 54,000. It's now revised down to minus 3,000. And the numbers for September just came in negative 32,000 when economists were expecting plus 51,000. When you're seeing things like this, as Laura pointed out, it means what you're seeing is the Trump administration basically tanking a growing economy, or at least substantially weakening it, such that employers are pulling back from hiring. Am I getting that right, Laura?
I think that's right. And I think there's no way to look at what Trump has been, that what the federal administration writ large has been doing in this economy. The chaos, just the uncertainty, take apart the kind of content of the tariff regime,
which who knows where they are of day to day, but that's the point, right?
The uncertainty of it puts employers back. It has them waiting to see what is going to emerge. Then on top of it, you have a tariff policy that is obviously, a tariff is definitionally a tax on imports. That's what it is. And it raises prices the way taxes do. And so in preparation for, or in actually implementing the new regime, depending on where we are and which country you're working with and whatever, employers see costs going up. Consumers see costs going up. That slows down the economy. The tariff is uncertainty, and the tariffs are a wet blanket. Same with the incredible hostility to immigrants, which was so bad that employers from the hospitality, agriculture, and food service industries complained enough to Trump that they got a temporary reprieve. Of course, that was overturned a few days later.
Just to emphasize this, because it's so important here in the state of Wisconsin, right? You look at tourism, which means restaurant, bars, and taverns, and you look at agriculture here in the state of Wisconsin. Immigrant labor is essential in those workforces. Donald Trump said, oh, well, we won't have ICE scoop all those people up. That lasted for about a week and a half. Then he retracted that, and now they're scooping up dairy workers. We just had reporting, a week ago, that they scooped up a bunch of dairy workers. Laura, just to emphasize some of the data from your very report, Wisconsin's 300,000 immigrants make up 7% of the state's workforce and generate $23 billion in economic output. Immigrants make up, again, according to Kids Forward, 11% of Main Street business owners, 16% of physicians, 9% of construction workers, over 60% of manicurists and pedicurists, and 12% of the state's agricultural workforce. Sorry to interrupt, Laura. Please continue. It's these.
Not at all. No, that's, it's just so important to see immigrants, to see what they're contributing, and to see this, this broad attack as not just morally and kind of, you know, morally problematic, but literally it slows the economy. It keeps people from hiring. It's leaving, you know, produce in the fields and milk in cows. And so you have this simultaneous kind of and I think is what you said earlier, is there was a very strong economic recovery coming out of the pandemic recession. Now we have, I think what looks like we have on the horizon is inflationary pressures from tariffs and a dramatic slowdown from uncertainty and tariffs. And that's, you know, I think that's the biggest wet blanket on this economy. I'm not, you know, you'd have to be a lot smarter than I am to know we're entering recession soon or whatever, but it does look like things are slowing down.
Well, and as the Yale Budget Lab has pointed out, and this is just with partial data, you know, half a year plus a smidge worth of data, the Donald Trump's tariff terror is costing families on average over $2,000, close to $2,500 per year. And we're hearing, if you're listening to CNBC or Fox Business, I don't care which one it is, the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, what we're seeing is businesses saying, we have not fully passed on the cost of tariffs. We've been trying to absorb much of that to keep our customers loyal to our brands. We've heard Walmart CEO in quarterly earnings calls saying, we're starting to pass more of these tariff costs on. So these numbers, this impact, the wet blanket, Laura, as you put it, we have not even seen the full impact of this uncertainty, this constriction in the labor force. And let's be clear, Laura, would it be fair to say that folks that are immigrants that are here work at very low wage rates? And if they are not available for labor, then labor will cost more and that will make prices go up.
That's a fair way to say it. So two inflationary pressures.
Folks, we're going to continue this important discussion about the state of Wisconsin's workforce with labor economist and an expert on low-wage work, Laura Dresser, Associate Director of the High Road Strategy Center. Don't go anywhere. We're going to come right back, sneak in a quick break. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.